You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There is a new report on abortion clinic conditions. It is not pretty at all. The numbers of violations over the number of clinics and the number of states, pretty staggering. We're going to be talking about this report and what actually, perhaps inadvertently, led to it with Christy Hamrick on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 13th. She's spokeswoman for Americans United for Life. Christy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you bringing attention to this really important public health crisis.
The Supreme Court, I think, inadvertently opened the door to this kind of investigation of the health violations at abortion clinics recently when it was dealing with Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt. What did they do that opened the door for this kind of reporting?
Well, what's so great about that question is at the time of that decision in June, the abortion industry and abortion advocates and President Obama and the entire world of abortion was so excited about that ruling, saying, oh, health and safety standards have been thrown out. But what the Supreme Court said in that ruling is, yes, we're going to throw out these health and safety standards because we don't think there's sufficient proof that they're necessary. But if there was proof, then we would agree that such health and safety standards would be constitutional. And at that time, what Americans United for Life said was game on. You want proof of unsafe conditions in abortion clinics? You want to understand how bad it is, what kind of risk women face? Great. We will rise to that challenge. So this report today, more than 200 pages of the report, more than 200 pages of documentation, of official records, police records, all kinds of records that show how dangerous conditions have happened, whether it's unsanitary conditions, equipment not cleaned, unlicensed personnel, all kinds of information from official records, not pro-life sources, official records, documenting the horrific conditions that we could find in abortion clinics.
We are told that that infamous case of abortionist Kermit Gosnell, we were assured he's a madman. It's an outlier. This is not the way it is and not representative of the kind of things that happen in abortion clinics. Now, while he may have gathered all the violations into one place, are the violations found there rare in other abortion clinics?
Well, here's what's funny about your question, Todd, is it's a yes and who knows. That's the answer. Because the reality is, very few states, I believe it's 26, even require any kind of or allow for any kind of investigation or inspection. In the state of Pennsylvania, for example, there were laws on the books that would allow for inspection of abortion clinics. And what we learned when Kermit Gosnell was convicted of murder of a woman and also infanticide, what we learned is that the state Pennsylvania officials had decided not to investigate any of the abortion clinics because it was too politically touchy. So one of the things that we tried to say in the unsafe report is these are the things that we could find with the laws on the books and with the inadequate reporting that we're aware of. So it's an uphill climb. But in 32 states, we found more than 1,400 confirmed violations over an eight-year period. So what we're saying is this is the tip of the iceberg because there aren't laws requiring inspection in all 50 states, and there aren't inspections being done all the time in states where there are such laws. And yet, we could still confirm horrific conditions.
So in other words, even with the lack of tools, that is, that would have required violations to be reported, legally reported, even with the lack of those things, the picture that is painted here is still a horrific one.
Exactly. That's what's so shocking. With the uphill climb that we've had, we can prove that there are unsafe conditions in abortion clinics across the country. And in those states where we have no proof, it's not because they have a clean bill of health. It's because it's an even murkier legal environment. I mean, most people don't know that in the United States, there is no law requiring abortion clinics to even report the number of abortions. All we know about the abortion industry is what they self-report. So the Centers for Disease Control puts out an estimate of abortion, and four states like California don't report at all. Guttmacher Institute, which is an abortion industry hack firm, they put out abortion numbers, again, based on information that abortion clinics give them. Can you imagine if we accepted the health of our banking industry because they said, don't worry, everybody, we did an audit ourselves and we're clean. Your money is safe. That is what the abortion industry does. They don't have any laws requiring reporting. Many of them don't report at all. Half the time when you find out something terrific, it's because we're in a 911 situation. And then, like as with Kermit Gosnell, horrible conditions are revealed.
Just give us a brief rundown of the kind of things, the violations that were found so broadly in abortion clinics.
We found violations like unsanitary conditions, where they're not washing the equipment. I mean, anyone who's in surgery knows you expect a scalpel to be clean, or there not to be blood on the floor or on the sheets or bedding. We found people who were inadequately trained. You would like to think that an anesthesiologist, for example, had gone to school for this kind of thing. We found all kinds of violations related to the way in which women's privacy was handled and just patient care. I mean, it's just everything you don't want in a medical facility. Don't we expect at the very least that when a woman has a medical procedure, that the people know what they're doing?
So if this were any other kind of clinic, a medical clinic, and these violations were being found there, there would be hoots of outrage, wouldn't there be?
I would think so. And here's what's funny. At Americans with Disabilities for Life, as you well know, we have model legislation that supports health and safety standards for abortion clinics. Now, to be clear, abortion is dangerous for women as a standalone procedure. Even if the facility were theoretically clean, abortion carries all kinds of dangers as a surgery for women. But at the very least, you would think the abortion clinics would want to have safe conditions. And what Americans United for Life does is we don't go in and say, this is what a safe clinic looks like. Every state has a medical board. And in those states, they say, this is how big your hallway should be. This is what kind of equipment should keep your surgical gear clean. This is what a safe clinic looks like. All the pro-life community is saying is apply those same laws to abortion clinics. That's the irony. These aren't new laws. These aren't different laws. We're asking the abortion clinic to say that they truly are safe and to be safe, and they're fighting us in court every step of the way. In fact, just yesterday in Missouri, lawmakers had to go to court again when Planned Parenthood is fighting standards. I mean, the abortion industry does everything it can to keep profits high and medical standards low.
The way it's put in the report is that the abortion industry, and I want you to explain this, if you would, Christy, that the abortion industry is prioritizing mere access to abortion over women's health and safety. What does that mean?
Well, lately, for those of us who track the abortion issue, access is Planned Parenthood and the abortion lobby's favorite word. And what they mean by that is, we don't care what happens to you once you get to an abortion clinic, as long as you didn't have to drive too far to get there. And they literally have charts about drive times, and if they shut down some abortion clinics in Texas, you might drive an hour. So they talk about access as though it is a constitutional issue to have a short drive. But let's look at this with a different issue. There is no right to abortion mentioned in the Constitution. That is sort of shoehorned in through privacy, and that's a whole other conversation. But, for example, all of us know that in the Second Amendment, there's a right to bear arms, to have guns. So can you imagine if we required that you had to have a 30-minute or less drive and a federally subsidized weapon? I mean, that's just crazy on the face of it, but that's what they're saying. They're saying abortion is constitutional. We would argue it's not. But because they say it's constitutional, we shouldn't have to drive very far. And also, we shouldn't be regulated with the same kind that actually are set up to protect women in other healthcare settings. That's how crazy it is.
I would like you to explain how the report characterizes how state officials are dealing with these things. In other words, that state officials are, in effect, turning a blind eye to what is called this red light district of medicine. What does that mean?
This is just an under-monitored, rarely supervised, and really tragically neglected area of public health. One of the reasons why Americans United for Life created this report is so that state legislators could hold it up in the well of a state house or state senate and use it to defend and advocate for health and safety standards. It's a tool showing the need, just like we talked about earlier, just like the Supreme Court said, show us the need. And so we are saying, great, here's proof of need. But another way that this report can be used is state attorney generals can take this report and use it to justify inspections of abortion clinics. And many clinics, again, have been so rarely monitored. We can't imagine what, well, we can't imagine, but we hope that this will be done, that state attorney generals will take this report and use it to call for inspections in their state, just like every other medical facility goes through.
Finally, then, abortion supporters often bring out the old rhetoric of the back alley abortion. What does this new report have to say about this rhetoric?
Well, what we at Americans United for Life believes is that this report illustrates that the back alley of abortion is operating today inside so-called legal abortion clinics. They can be dirty. They can spread infection. Women can get STDs and all kinds of issues added to their problems. They could become infertile. They can have problems later with premature delivery. They can be exposed to people with no skills. The back alley of abortion is what operates today, and we need to protect women from this. There are two victims of abortion. One, the woman who has really been sold a bill of goods and is not safe inside a clinic. And two, of course, the unborn baby, who we are also motivated to protect.
Christy Hamrick is a spokeswoman for Americans United for Life. You'll find a link to this new report on abortion clinic conditions and to Americans United for Life under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Christy, keep up the good work, and thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for getting the word out.
Pastor Tom Baker is going to join us on the other side of the break. Every week, we teach a Sunday school lesson with him. Today, we'll be in John chapter 3, the first 21 verses, where Jesus holds a little classroom for one of the teachers of Israel, Nicodemus. Stay tuned. Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldusa.org.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
At Advent Lutheran Church in Zionsville, Indiana, God's Word and sacraments work to forgive sinners through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We invite you to join the rich heritage of traditional liturgy in our Sunday morning worship.
You can find us online at adventlutheran.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at lutheranpublicradio.org.
At once in holy air.
sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado, Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois, and Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.